It's already 3 days.
Good evening.
Good evening. Today's the last day this lecture, and today's contents is actually how we should change after the foundation day, and then what's our current address, what is it, up to what level are we at the moment. So that's why today we're going to speak about the completion of providence of recreation and our portion of responsibility. We speak about completion of providence, but then we've added re there, recreation. Why did we add re to the creation? We could just speak about creation, but then now we have recreation. The reason is, even if we are completed, because we are people that have actually gone through the fallen world, if after we've been completed, our descendants will be the creation of, will just be on the basis of the providence of creation. But because we are people that actually came, have gone through the fallen world, we have to add re. That's why there's re there. So then today, we're going to speak about the era before the coming of the heaven and down. Then the next, we're going to speak about the problem of recreation, Tomba Kyompa, the conclusion on era of indemnity and the UN providence, and the era before the coming of heaven and after. The era before and after the coming of heaven, what is the difference between the two? The era before is the providence of restoration. So then, of course, it was from the position where Satan had actually tainted us. And this is the era before the coming. And after, now we are on era after the coming of heaven. We are going that way. So just like people before the fall. So just in the position of Adam and Eve before they were 14, beings that have never been tainted by the fall. So it's us starting back at this point of them being completed without having ever been tainted by the fall. So of course, in the era before, there was era of the city fight between God and Satan, but now it will become God's direct dominion, a complete unity between God of night and day. In the era before the coming of heaven, fallen environment, but now we're going back to the original environment later on. And the era before, again, if it was the era of restoration through indemnity, now the next one is the era of no indemnity conditions. So before, we had to make conditions to be able to, conditions of indemnity to be able to remove the fallen characteristics. But then, as we're going to be going towards a time where we can have God's attributes be transformed in that way. One day someone said, after Jesus died, after he was resurrected, and many things happened in history. So just now, as True Father also went to the spirit world, why don't you think that maybe something a spiritual revolution might happen, just like in Jesus' time? So during that time as well, in the past, we also, when we joined, for example, the Christian Church, when we're pioneering, we had so many spiritual experiences. At the moment now, many of us are not having these spiritual experiences, but because True Father has gone, we might have more. This kind of question came about. What do you think about that? Yeah, I think after the Son of our true Father sent it on our true Mother, who has become one Trinity with Him and one with Him, He will come about. It will come about. And there's a reason why we don't feel the spiritual world, that we don't have spiritual experiences. I asked a question in Philippines about spiritual experiences. And up to now, what kind of spiritual experiences people had? If normally, it was, first they have to have a Holy Spirit experience. So that means God enters through them, and then they feel God through them, and that's some sort of a spiritual Holy Spirit experience. Yeah, so of course there's a big difference between Holy Spirit and the opposite of evil, Holy Spirit and dirty spirits coming into you. There's a big difference. So yeah. So some people there are this kind of experiences as well. So what should we do to be able to feel the Holy Spirit? Do you think that God enters anywhere? He doesn't go anywhere. He doesn't just enter in any kind of situation, because He's a God that is only connected to goodness. So if so, we as human beings that have both good and evil in us, He can't enter in us. So why can't we feel God at this moment? It's because at this moment, we even in our mind, we still have both spirits. So of course we have this. We have many. There are some people that have had so many other experiences before in the past. But even though they had these two opposing spirits in them, they still could feel that. But they didn't feel. It wasn't the Holy Spirit what that they felt. It was just like a bit of an elevation of good spirit. That's a kind of spiritual experience they had. But a proper Holy Spirit is when a perfect Holy Spirit experience is actually when you are completely just in goodness. So the reason why we are not actually feeling this sometimes is because we still have this both good and evil minds within us. Do you understand that? So the reason why we have to be able to get God's attributes is because for us to be able to get this God's attributes, we have to 100% transform ourselves into God's attributes. So our true Father, in order to open the era after the coming of heaven, He went through the in 1998 He bore the cross of true love, and then He said that as well. Why do you think that He said why do you think that He bore the cross of true love? Because He is someone that came as a not unfallen human being and the direct Son of God. But us human beings are fallen human beings. So true Father is someone that has both the good laws of the spiritual world, and he's a direct Son of God. But us, we live in a fallen world, and because we've lived in that kind of world up to now, we have a type of gap between God and true Father and us. So when he speaks about law of no unfallen world, it's hard for us to understand. So how can we actually get over this gap? So because he wants to speak to us about these new laws and give us this inspiration on how to be able to change, but we are not able to understand. We are not understanding. So he's trying so hard. So he's been speaking. So he was been speaking very slowly up to now to be able to, for us to understand. So even in 1998, he said, we are, I'm the teacher. So he gave us, he gave the blessing to families, to bless families. And then after he gave the blessing to bless families, then he said, you can call me a true father. So that's how much, when he was helping us to grow, and the more, as we were growing, then we could also change the way we understand him. Our levels were changing. And in 2003, when True Father succeeded, when True Father succeeded one more victory, he made us call him True Parents of Heaven and Earth. And then later, again, he was a king and queen. And that was because he was he was living the life of a king of queen, and he had succeeded that, and God had entered into his body. So he was the Messiah, he made us, we could understand, our level had changed in such a way we could understand that, so we could call him in that way. In 1960, for example, if he had said immediately, I am the Savior, I am the Messiah, and if he had said that immediately, do you think there will be people that would believe that? There would have been no one, actually. So, of course, the blessed families, when they were listening to the words, they, as much as they were growing in the word, and they were going different levels as well, the blessed families, also, our True Father's victories were getting at that level, and so he could talk to us. It was actually very hard for him, because he wanted to say that from the very beginning. He wanted to tell us from the very beginning that you guys are the children of God. But he couldn't explain, he couldn't say that. He was living such kind of love. He wanted to say from the beginning what kind of laws we should live in order to be able to be to grow faster and not and grow faster and have parental heart, but he could not. That's the kind of true father he was. So that's why he said, I bore the cross of true love. And in 2009, he won the seven deaths and resurrection, completing the eight stages. And that's how he actually, he said, he told everyone, that's how I saved humanity, based on that. So you know about the six different things, different stages of death he went through, and the helicopter was the seventh. So of course there were two things that Satan took from him at that time. The first thing was the holy wine he gave us. So Satan, so from based on such condition, If I win, I will give.
If I win, I will give.
So he basically was telling he in front of Satan, he made such a condition that, okay, this is the condition I do. If I can win at this point, then I can be able to make the holy wine, which should actually be a condition to be able to save all humanity. So then with Satan, he was actually fighting. He was always through this holy wine, he actually could bless people to return back to God's lineage. So that's not really a simple thing. It's actually something that he actually gave his whole life, and he found this. If I speak about this principally, it will be it's because you have come back to a position of it's returning to a position of not having been tainted by the fall, of returning completely through that holy wine ceremony. So then but we could not do that before. So this changing of blood lineage, it's true Father found it. True Father could establish this holy wine ceremony in order to liberate, change all the blood lineage of humanity. And he gave his life for that. And that was his life. The second, through the seventh death and resurrection, what he also gave was this word, the eight great texts. Teaching textbook materials. These eight great textbook teaching materials contain the attributes of God. So if we had not fallen, and if we had not been in this fallen world, then we would have just ideally just grown that way and known about it. But because we have fallen and we have been in this fallen world, we have Satan attributes in us, we have fallen natures in us, and we're growing in that way. But with these eight great textbook teaching materials, it's a way for all humanity to be able to actually completely change into the original attributes of God and inherit them. So that's something he discovered after winning the seventh death resurrection. So what is that? So from now on, after the foundation day, we completely... So this is actually the main core of this lecture today. So there are four core attributes of God. In Belvedere, 1999, he said, true love is a completion of heaven and earth in heaven. And he said there are 16 attributes of God that we can see. So then the attributes of God are internal attributes as well as external attributes. And these internal attributes are absolute, unique, unchanging, and eternal. But these internal attributes, again, is just like the heart that you can't see, the mind that you can't see. So of course, when this actually comes, for this to be able to be shown or form, you can see it in the external attributes of God. And what is that? It's creativity, subjectivity, relationship, and unification. That's what he said. So what does this mean? I'm going to try and explain it now. So when he spoke about the internal attributes first, he said absolute. In absolute, there is unique, there is unchanging, there is eternal. In unique as well, there is absolute, unchanging, and eternal. In unchanging as well, there is absolute, unique, and eternal. And internal as well, there is absolute, unique, and unchanging in each of them. So, these, even though they all have different meanings, they are also one, fully united, fully completed together. They are actually unified as well. So what did he say? So it then is absolute. What does that mean, absolute? When you do the family pledge, you read it, yeah? Yeah? What is absolute? No, what is absolute? What do you think? Even us, there are many of us, we actually memorize the family pledge, but we don't understand sometimes. So what basically absolute means in order, means order within law and principle. Order within law and principle. So if I say it again. So God created the world in 6 days. So with law and principle. And the earth. So that's why you see the light, the sun and the moon don't come together. Everything just so earth, moon, they are all unified. They all know when to come. Things just happen nicely. So that's the same thing he did also for the whole of the universe. So God, in the creation, he also created everything, his own world, with the law and principle. So in absolute, there is also law as well as principle, and also God, for the object, he created a world for the object, for us, in this way. In unique, what does unique mean? Unique is quite important. What do you think it means? What's unique? Unique. It's actually the love that I receive with God uniquely. To explain that more simply, is that this person here, for example, I am God, and you are the child of God. God wants to speak with you. He shares love with you. So you are actually sharing love one-to-one. Other people, they don't know about God sharing love with you, one-to-one. Just you, and it's only a love between me and you, God and you. It's because it's one-to-one. That's God actually giving a one-to-one love to you. So then, but of course, God is not like that. He doesn't just give to you. At the same time, he's giving as well a one-to-one love with another person, with everyone. So when this person feels it by himself. He thinks that he's the only one receiving 100% love. But actually, at the same time, God is actually having a love relationship with everyone, one to one. What does that mean? It means, for example, you have 3 children in your family. The father has a one to one love with the first child. Then even though you have this love relationship with your first child, of course at the same time you also have the same love with your 3 other children. You feel that same love to those 3 children. So but the person that receives the love, he feels that he's the only one uniquely receiving love. God, as well for all humanity, he's actually to everyone, he's giving love 100% one to one. That's the kind of love he's giving to everyone. Do you understand that? So God of course, comes to everyone individually, one by one. And at the same time, he also loves everyone at the same time. He's that kind of person. That's what it means. And then also God is unchanging. What does unchanging mean? How can love be unchanging? How can changing? What can be unchanging? Anything. God. Anything else that can be unchanging? Unchanging love. So after God created this, after the providence of history that's happening now, so there is actually something in this world that in all of history doesn't change. What is it? It's something. It's gold. Yeah? Why does gold have this kind of position in the world? Even if there is a volcano, the color doesn't change, just the form. So the gold is completely unique. That's why it's because it's that unique, it has that position in as a mineral. What's the next thing that is unchanging? Do you know anyone?
Diamond.
Why is the diamond unchanging? Because even if you cut it, the diamond in itself, the value of its diamond, the essence, sorry, of the diamond, doesn't change. Even if you mix it, the diamond, you can actually just, it doesn't, you cannot change whatever, you cannot even mix it with anything. It doesn't change. It's still diamond. It's unique. That's why diamond is also an eternal, because it doesn't change, its position doesn't change. It is also in one of these kind of position in the world. The same, just like a diamond and gold, God's love doesn't change. So even if human beings change, God doesn't change. That's why, if for 6,000 years, even though humanity had fallen, God's love could come down, because he never changed. That's why. So God's love, up to now, it's still coming down on this earth, and then that's the reason why you have this providence of restoration and salvation happening, because that's a speciality. It's unique because it's not unchanging. The final thing is eternal. The last one is eternal. What does eternal mean? What is eternal in this world? What is eternal? Anything that's eternal? That's I will just explain it as True Father said. In True Father's words, he said, I'm omnipresent. So as much as I love, then I'm omnipresent as well. What does that mean? Let me explain it. This person, if I love this person 70 or 100%, just imagine now, I'm loving him 70%, and one day I give him an order of 180%. Will he listen to me? I loved him for 70% and I gave him an 80% order. What would he do? He will just do a 10% effort. But if I love him 70% and I give him something to do for, I ask him to give him an order for 50%, what will he do? How will he feel? With a thankful heart, he will just say okay. Why? Because he received 20% more than, you know, so he feels that way. So this person, if in order to get that person, you have to, as much as you love that person, you have to enter that person, you have to be able to live in that person if you want to be omnipresent. So the amount of love you give to one person, then you will stay in that person. Why is God eternal? Because everyone, he gives 100% of love to everyone. He comes to everyone. Because of that kind of standard, we can have we can actually be or do something for him. So God's characteristics, don't just understand it as his attributes. Just feel it. Like, for example, he will be, we would have understood, don't just understand it as attributes, just understand it more like if we had not fallen, we would have been 100% like God attributes. So then there are some of you here, your parents are still alive. There are some who have parents who are in the heaven. But your parents, even if they went to heaven, did your love go away from your parents? Because their body doesn't exist? Does it mean that the love of your mother is gone? No. Because it's inside the heart. As much as she gave love to me, it's alive in that heart. Even though the body is gone, even if she died, the amount of percentage of love you received, it's inside my cells, inside my heart, my father, my mother is still alive. And as much percentage as love I received, and that's the kind of love I have for them. That's why, if we had not been fallen human beings, we would have also be able to give this 100% of love to everyone. And when we give 100% love to everyone, even if we die, we are alive in everybody's love, because in everybody's heart, because of the love we give to them. That's why our true father said, live for the sake of others, because he wanted us to inherit these attributes of God. As much as we give love, as much as we give, then in that person's cells, in that person's heart, we will be living. Do you understand that? That's why, if we look at these internal attributes of God, this absolute, centered on this absolute, centered on this absolute, the goodness, there is goodness and happiness, and inside the unique love, the one-to-one love with everyone, he at the same time, even though he's having a one-to-one love with everyone, he's also having love with the whole world. And he's also a parent that has that is unchanging. He has a love, an unchanging love towards everyone, and it's eternal. So it's he will help us to actually be able to feel such kind of love eternally. That is the internal attributes of God. So we have to be able to actually resemble these attributes of God, these internal attributes. Now let's try and explain the external. So of course the internal have no form, the external has got a form. You can see it in the form. So when True Father spoke about the creativity, subjectivity, relationship and unification, there are some people that might have heard for the first time today, but maybe you might feel that you heard it before. Yes? Do you? So let's explain this. What does this mean, these external attributes? True Father first spoke about subjectivity. What is subjectivity? We speak a lot about subject and object because of the divine principle. What is subjectivity? We learn a lot about it in the divine principle. It's alright if it's wrong. It's alright if it's wrong. You are a bit right, yeah. What is subjectivity?
The one
who gives
out.
What?
The one.
주는
사람.
그것도 좀 맞았습니다.
That's a bit. That's all right.
Yeah. 근데 100% 답은 아니에요.
Well, that's not the 100% answer.
주체성이란 뭐냐?
Subjectivity. It's a very important point. Idea.
이야기해서,
in one word. It is the capacity to be able to help the object to grow. It is actually to be able to help your object to be recreated. So when you create your object, it's not about creating the object in your own mindset, how you want her or him to be. That's a very important point. So the mind and the thought of it's not about creating the object with your mind and thought as you want this person to be. What is it then? It's actually to find the talent or speciality that is inside your object, and then the little special thing that this person has got, and help that person to improve it and to help to grow it, and then until that person can be able to be completed and perfected their talent or capacity. That's what it is. So of course all of us have different talents, don't we? And this talent, you have to actually find this talent and then help them to grow, to be completed. And the subjectivity is actually you being able to do that. Let me explain. Let me give an example. In the European headquarters, for example, an order comes down, and then they tell the national leader. There's a foundation day is coming up. There's a Stockholm church, your Sweden church. So you have to witness 300 people. That's the kind of order that comes out. and then this is what he does. On the Sunday, he actually tells everybody, okay, we've got a new mission. We have to have 300 new members. So let's do this. Would that be a very true subject? No. A true subject with doing so will be actually to find the special talent of every We told you that it's finding the speciality and the talent of someone, didn't we? So, what does that mean? The national leader? He has to be like... He's like, oh wow, if we have to have a new guest, then we probably... He has to have some good ideas, yeah? Then he looks at his church, he's like... Oh, he looks for someone that is very good, an artist. Someone that can draw very well. So he sees someone that's got that talent. I'm sure there are a few of them. And then he meets those people, he called them. He says, hey, lovely member. You. I know that you know how to draw very well. When I see your picture, I just think it's so fantastic. It's amazing. So I think your drawings, for us to be able to have new guests, so we're going to make a new witnessing center. So please, would you not make for us some nice display for these guests? When he speaks to that, then of course, this member, he'll be like, wow. Because he know that they have touched the talent that he has, and he would not feel it as a job. It would be his dream. He's happy. He'll be happy. So it's like, oh, because that's his capacity. That's what he can do. Then there's another person, a B, maybe. There's someone that likes to meet people. His job as well. He starts maybe doing some business. And then sometimes he's just sitting in, he doesn't like to just sit at home and doing nothing. So that's why he likes to go out. Maybe he wants to go to a coffee shop and talk to someone. He's that kind of person. So he can make a small meeting with those kind of people and be like, you, my dear lovely member, I know that you have so many friends, Oliver. And your guests and your friends, how will it be to invite them to our new witnessing center? That he likes drinking some teas, he likes meeting people, and then the witnessing center will be like a beautiful coffee shop. Of course, he will want to bring his lovely guest over. There you go. He knows how to do that. That's his kind of thing. There are some people that like to talk. They talk. This kind of baseball. Then the leader goes to him. Oh, lovely member, you. I know. It looks like you can do lots of nice consultation. It looks like you can talk very well. So, I have when the new guests are here, you just like get three people. How about you actually talk to them, huh? And then, so the person that can do that, the A, number A, that can actually do display very well. The B that likes to actually make the business very well, you know, likes meeting people. Another person that actually likes to talk. So after he meets these people, he's actually giving them the opportunity to help their talent to grow. So then on Sunday, then when the national leader comes and he stands there, he will come with a very happy heart. He can see that everything that the A, B, C has done. And then he'll be like, oh, we've decided to do it this way. And then he can say, now, you know, we've already done this met with all of you, but there are 300 people that we need to have here. What do you think about it? Of course, he has already explained to everyone, and they will be able to feel all a vision and a dream, because and that's why they can be able to make a proper road for this to happen. Do you understand?
Yeah.
That is subjectivity. That is creativity. It's finding the talent, the special thing that God has given in each person, and helping that person to grow. or helping that talent to grow. Once they find it to grow, once they find it, once you find it and you help that talent and that thing grow in the person, then you are, this is subjectivity. So it's actually taking the finding the good, the special thing in the person and helping it grow. So God created everyone like that, and with this subjectivity, then that's how he's been guiding us here, because he's given us each something. So subjectivity is helping the object, someone else to grow. And what is creativity then? So three things about creativity: absolute faith, absolute love, and absolute obedience. These three things is creativity. What does that mean? So we speak, we do family page number 8. Centered on true love, our blessed families. So we have absolute faith, love, and obedience. We say that every time. And that's the number 8. We read that and we memorized it. What is absolute love? Faith. What kind of heart did you have absolute faith? How did you interpret it? It's okay to be wrong. Come on. What is absolute faith? What did you think about it when you memorized it? Yeah. That's how the Christians are also thinking. That's how many people are thinking, actually. But then true father's absolute faith is not like that. Today we're going to explain about the absolute faith. I'm going to make an action. What is absolute faith? I'm not going to give you the answer first. First, an action. Absolute faith is living based on your conscience, vertically with God, without any shadow. That is absolute faith. So even if people have fallen, the reason why restoration is possible, because we human beings have conscience. So centered on our conscience, vertically with God, without any shadow, living in that way. Shall we do it all together? Centered on our conscience. Do the action, come on. Centered on our conscience. Vertically. With God. Without any shadow. What does that mean, living with in a high time of noon without any shadow? That means, for example, when it's 12 o'clock, the sun is at 90 degrees and sends the light down at this point of 90 degrees. And this sun, it's 12 o'clock, and then when the sun light falls down, everything, all the lights falls down in the center. So that means At that time, there is no shadow anywhere. It's only at 12 o'clock that you can't find any shadow. If you look at the phone, not the phone, the time, exactly, all the three what you call it, arms of the clock are exactly at 12 as well. That is actually a Chongo Chongchak, which is living without any shadow, as in time of high noon. So that is a time when there is no shadow. If I explain it again, that means it's a time when a sort of even one thinking up, you should think about 100% about God. You should be 100% with God at that time, just like without any shadow, not even think about yourself for 1%. That is actually living at the time of high noon. So to absolute faith is centered on love. So of course virtue with the conscience that is actually like on a horizontal, and then now and centered on God, which is vertical, that's the 90% degree. So then 100% at that time you become one. We have to become like that at 12. That is absolute faith.
Understand?
Yeah.
So that's why in this at that time with of absolute faith, there is no there is no shadow, there's nothing about nothing, no satanic influence. You are 100% centered on God and you've become one at that time. That's absolute faith. Do you understand? That's why the position of absolute faith is a very important position. So what is absolute love then? What do you think is absolute love? So of course everyone would say that now, it's true love, yeah. So what is absolute love when you memorized it? Yeah, in the family pleasure. The absolute love, yeah. Let me just say True Father's explanation of it. Can you come over, please? You are in trouble. So I'm going to do the actions first. Okay, have a look. So you have to greet me. Come on. So the object, I'm gonna help my partner to grow, and he do the same thing I do, and I will grow as well. Okay. Couples. Make couples. You don't have to be real couples here now. Just together. Look at me. I help my partner to grow. Not the Korean. And then me. And he will help me grow. One more time. You help your partner to grow. And then I will also grow. They will help me grow. They will help me grow. Great. And sorry, that will help me grow if I help the partner to grow. So in Satan's world, it's normally I grow first. I will become perfect first. And then I will help you. That is actually Satan's way, Satan's attributes. For example, you have an opportunity to win $1,000. Then will you tell your friend immediately? You'll be like, oh, if you help me, I will give you $300. What does that mean? That means first You want to first get the 700. You first completely think about pocketing $700, and then you will give, you will help the other person with 300. First you. That is certain Satan's attributes, characteristics. But the absolute love is actually helping as much as you help your partner to grow, you will grow as well. That's the kind of love that God gave us, but we lost it. So if I explain it more simply, the husband, you, who actually, who calls you husband? Who calls you husband? She. You have to say wife, not she. That's right, yeah, wife. So far, or do you think that the lady beside can call you wife? The lady in your... No, no, not her. The lady, your neighbor's wife. Can she call you wife? No. No, because husbands. So in the whole world, it's only your wife that can call you husband, isn't it? So... So of course it means the husband cannot become husband by himself, is it? It is the wife that makes you a husband. So how are you living for your wife then? It's your wife that is supposed to help you. It's your wife that is supposed to help you to grow, and it's your wife that. But then, what are you doing for her? How are you helping her to help to? How are you helping her to grow so that she can? How are you living with a thankful heart for, because she's the only one that can help you grow?
How do you show your appreciation for the value that she gives you, that you, she creates you to have a husband's position? How do you show that?
That's what the husbands do, yeah? They just say, I'm husband. And listen to what I say. Just follow me. And they live like that with just giving orders, huh? Does that make you a husband?
No.
The husband cannot become a husband by themselves. The wife is the one making you a husband. So for you to be able to be a completed husband, what should you do to your wife? How should you live? Help her. How should you do? You have to become the servant of your wife. Do you know why? Why do you have to become the servant of your wife? Do you know why? Because Lucifer, the reason why he human beings failed is because he did not want to live a life of a servant. He wanted to be an owner. And that's how human beings start, you know, that's how the fall became about. So if we want to do a restore this for the providence of restoration, we have to talk about the opposite way, the reverse course. Then we have to, in order to be able to remove this feeling of Lucifer, of not being a servant, we have to be able to work that way. So you should forget about the servant, doesn't think about himself. So who makes you a wife? That's right, that's your husband. Your neighbor doesn't call you wife, yeah? So what are you doing for your husband? How are you living? How grateful are you to your husband?
Thank you.
You cannot just do that.
마찬가지로 종이.
You have to also be his servant. Same.
그래. 인간이.
And that's how.
루시퍼의 정신이 들어왔던 것을 극복.
So that's how we can be able to overcome everything that Lucifer created from the beginning.
자.
And grow.
자유자유는 누가 만든?
Who makes you a parent? Who makes you a parent?
Parent, your children.
That's right, that's your children. So the children make you a dad or a mom. Yeah? So what are you doing to your children now, huh? What are you making? How are you living for them?
Serve them.
Give them love. Sometimes I scold them.
Even if you got married, if there is not someone, if you don't have children that can call you dad or mom, you will never become a parent. So the parents are not created by themselves. It's the children that help, that make you parents. So what should you do? So how did you live as a parent to your children? You didn't act as a servants.
No, you said we live like servants for the children.
Sorry, we live like servants for children. Oh yeah. Oh, when they want to eat, we give them food. When they want to dress, we dress them up. So with everything we have, we give to them. We lived as servants to them, didn't we?
Slaves.
Slaves. Why did we do it that way? Because we want them. We want to because they help us to become parents, isn't it? That's how we lived. But so the wife, the person that makes you a wife is your husband. The husband, it's gonna be your wife. And then it's obvious. It's not about yourself. The only it's nothing that you cannot be in your position by yourself. Who makes a teacher a teacher? Student. That's it, students. Even you just come out of Harvard University, you've got your certificate. I know there's nobody. If there's anyone here that's more intelligent than me, come over. Can someone like that be a teacher? If he doesn't have students, then he will never be a teacher. There should be someone that will call him teacher so that he can be a teacher. So it's not about theory. It's not theory that makes you a teacher. If you have apostles, if you have students, if you have objects, if you have an object, then you can become a teacher. Even the president, is the president that makes himself president?
No.
No. It's people. So of course, who made them a national leader? Even if she does her best, even if she works very hard, is she the one that creates herself as a national leader? Who can call her national leader? Exactly, it's the members. So it's you. Yeah, that's it. So if you ignore her, if she ignores you, then how can she be a national leader? No. That's it. If you ignore the position of your wife, will you become a husband? If you actually ignore your husband, can you be a wife? That's it. You can't ignore the position. That's why absolute love is actually as much percentage you give to the object, then you get it back.
거짓말 하지 마시고 솔직히 얘기하세요.
Don't say the truth. Don't forget about the hundreds of people in the back. I'm going to ask you a question now.
자신의 아내를
Your wife
100점 중에 몇 점이라고 생각하세요?
In 100%, how many percentage do you think you've given her?
어렵지만,
it's a very difficult. It's a very difficult. Don't think about it. So just give the answers like this. So what? No. What kind? In 100%, how many percentage did you give? How many percentage do you think she? How many points do you give your wife for your position? Then she said, how many percentage do you give to her? That. How much percentage you think that she's doing her best? There's no one that has 100%. You can't say that. How much? What's her level? Of course, it's hard. But just what about you?
80.
So that means you are 80%. What is your percentage then? Whose percentage is that? Is it the percentage of your husband? That's also your percentage. That's yours. That's your percentage. Because he's only up to 80%, that means the efforts I've given is only up to 80%. So the points you're giving to your husband is not your points, it's not your husband's points, it's your points. So how did you leave? You think sometimes, so why can't you do better than this? And your wife, you also say, why can't you do this better? So of course, when you are saying that to them, to whom are you actually talking to? Is it your object or is it yourself? Whatever you're telling to your to the other person is actually what is reflecting back to you, how much you've given. So the points of the wife is the points of the husband. The points of the husband is the points of the wife. Because your efforts were not up to that level. It was not more than that. Because you did not help your husband to grow up to that level. Only up to that level you help them grow. Because your wife did not have more. Because your wife did not have enough strength, or did not have enough abilities, she could not help you grow further. So when you are insulting your object or your other partner, you actually insult yourself. The point you're giving to the other person, it is your own points.
John.
That's why absolute love is as much percentage you are helping your object to grow, then you're growing as well. If your child is a lawyer, even if your parents came out of just middle school, or they become parents of a lawyer. Because if you actually help your child to grow, he becomes a president. Your position changes to parents of a president. So as much as you actually help your object partner to change, or the other person to change, then your level goes up that level. Your value.
구원하시려고 합니까?
Why does God want to say, restore humanity or save humanity?
완성시키려고 합니까?
Why does God want to perfect humanity?
당신이
Because if you want to
당신의 부모의 자리 당신이 부모의 자리가 완성되려면
for you to be able to be a parent complete a parent
인간이 완성된 퍼센트지만큼 하나
for him to become because he wants to be completed to a certain level if he can if you can be perfected a parent then he will also get to that level that's it That is actually the attributes of God, the absolute. So us, as we are living, if we resemble God, if I want to get my value, if I want to perfect my values, if I try and get myself only to grow, I will not be able to be perfected or grow. So if I try, actually anyone in the world, if I try and help, as much as I try to help everyone in the world to grow, then also my level is made, my position is created, and that amount of percentage and point is given to me. But because we're living in a fallen human world, we want to first get perfected, then we can help other people. We want to first grow. Can you be able to, are you in the position to be able to make your own position? Completion is not in your hands. It is as much as you help another person to grow that you can grow. So absolute love, absolute obedience, and absolute faith. And also it's inside this creativity. And I'm going to talk about the absolute obedience now. What is absolute obedience? So when the True Father talked about absolute obedience the first time, I was thinking, oh, what is this? Why are you talking about absolute obedience? I also have thoughts myself. That's what I said first. Because I didn't think properly. But then when I understood later on, absolute obedience is if human beings had not fallen in an unfallen world it's a we will be living completely for the others like living for the sake of the other this is the kind of world we will be living in and then because it's a perfected world obedience It's obedience is actually helping. It's actually getting yourself to be completed. That's actually a world without fallen attributes. So that means everybody, all the world. It's a world where everyone tries to help the other person grow. So that means actually law and order. Because it's the road for us to be able to be completed and perfected. So absolute obedience is about absolute obedience is about this kind of life in a world without the fall. Secondly, another thing about the absolute obedience is. It's when you want to be able to be obedient to your subject partner. So that means you're not going to. You have to be completely positive. If you're not completely positive-minded, you cannot be obedient. So in other words, we can say that it's absolute. 긍정 is a. A positive mind. There's another word for positive. Yeah. So, for example, there's bestseller books. The Secret, you know?
Yeah.
If you see that, there are two energies in the world. There's a negative energy and positive energy. So, this positive people who have this positive mind, they are able to get all the positive. Because they become one with this positivity, because all the positivity in the world just comes to them. So the positive energy supports that person. But people who are negative, then everything that's negative in the world comes to them, just calls them, so that the negative energy gets stuck to them and supports them to be more negative. So that's why, if I'm positive, all the positivity strength will come and help me to grow and be perfected. So my mind, if my mind is negative, then everything that is negativity will come and support me. So then nothing happens good to me. So what kind of support are you being supported by, positivity or negativity? In God's attributes is complete positivity. And the absolute obedience as well, in some way, is absolute positivity. So in this creativity, there's absolute love, absolute obedience, and absolute faith. So absolute faith, it's centered on your conscience, vertically together with God, becoming one. With no shadow. That means you have no thought about yourself. 100% you become one with God. That's the absolute faith. And then absolute love is helping someone else to grow, and you will grow through that process. So I grow through the process. If you think I'm gonna grow, then I will help you. That's Lucifer. That's satanic. So for you to be able to grow, you have to help another partner to grow, someone else to grow. Many people, you have to help A, B, C, D. You have to give them 100% to A, B, C, D, and this love. You have to give 100% love to all these people, and then in such a way that they have you, all the love you gave them, they will save it in their, it will be in them as well as in their cells, so that even if you die, even if your body goes away, you are always going to be eternally alive in their heart.
Understand.
That is absolute love. So that's actually what the attributes of God is. But because Lucifer came, things were different. It went the opposite way. So this subjectivity, it's helping. It's finding actually the talent, the special talent in everyone, and helping it grow. So then together with subjectivity and creativity, the creativity is centered on God, having absolute faith, not thinking about yourself, becoming one completely with God. That with in absolute love, helping the other person to grow so that you can grow. And then absolute faith is having a positive mind. And then everything with this mind of having a with this positive mind, everything that God has created, and then together creativity and subjectivity meet, and then together they have a relationship, and then later there will be unification. So they become one. So this unification is about the individual, family, world, nation, and it goes up to the whole universe. all centered on the law and the principle in of absolute faith, with the one, even though it looks like a one-to-one love, God is loving everyone uniquely at the same time, and it's a love. He has got an unchanging parental heart, and then this is the eternal dream world that God had in His mind. That's it. So then God's attributes is a great thing. So does it resemble? Who do we resemble? At the moment we resemble Lucifer. So what are the fallen characteristics? So so for example, we've got this kind of mind. At the moment we've got like comparison, jealousy in us. The reason why the fall started was because Lucifer compared himself with human beings. That's the root, because of comparison. If you think about it, when you have a bad mind, when you have a fear about something, everything that you think, happy or sad, you can see that it starts from this comparing. The next thing is complaining, this kind of heart. Next is about an excessive desire. If, for example, you see someone, you're like, how you didn't even do any job, but you received this kind of inheritance from your parents. I'm angry. That kind of heart comes to you. In reality, even if their parents live well, normally maybe someone's parents are rich, but that's actually the person's blessing. But of course, it means the parents worked hard for it. But you happen to have this excessive desire or angry heart. Then, for example, you've got the handphones, each of us. It's very beautiful. Then, of course, the normal people are like, oh my God. Some of us, we think, oh, we have to buy this as well. We have to buy this. But then, of course, for those who are very... Some other people who have a higher sad... terrible heart, they think, I'm going to steal it, I'm going to get it away from them. In the world, for example, there's a beautiful girl, walking. What happens in the world? They're like, I'm going to steal that guy, I'm going to steal that woman, because they compare and they're like, I want this, and then they take it. That's what happens, isn't it? So this is Lucifer's eyes and desires. Next, of course, because of that, then crimes happen. Because of all that, crimes happen. Because they want to get it. Now, then they think, oh, of course, I didn't want to go that far. You know, they even think like that later on. They start having fear because of their conscience. So because they get this fear, they want to remove this. Then they want to remove this fear, and so then they try and shift responsibility. It's not me who did it. It's not because of me. That's what's happening in the world now. It's not only me. Everyone is doing that. They're all crazy, isn't it? That's what happens. So of course, because they've got this conscience, they try to shift responsibility. Then after, what happens after that? They start this enmity, this self-righteous, this enemy. Then after that, they create their own world. They become like Satans themselves. You laughed. And even me, there are many times I became like Satan. Because it's the root. We still, because the root of Lucifer is still working on us. Because we are still having the, at the moment it's still manifesting in us, all this. Even we don't feel. It starts from a very little place and then it just goes up, goes up. So this is the kind of life we're doing, one by one, it happening to us. This is Satan's world. Let's have 10 minutes break and then we can start again. Thank you.